Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
8:45, quarter till 9. I'm going to say this before we bring our guest on. I would suggest you download the Odyssey app. It's free. And then employ the rewind feature so that you can go back and listen to Noel Norman yesterday in the 10 o'clock hour, because he was talking about Jason Williams and his failure to file charges in adult court against some high-profile cases, juveniles, one of them, who Cruz Matute, who is now 17 years old, that allegedly, I'll throw that in, shot and wounded Noah Hansard, a UNO student, back in August, who was just walking while taking a studying break, and the DA said he was going to charge him as an adult, but missed the deadline for that. And then recently we find out that the young person, Kendall Myers, who was accused of robbing and shooting Scott Toops, the DA missed that deadline too. And Newell went on a gave a pretty impassioned, I wouldn't call it a rant, but an analysis of what's going on with Jason Williams' office. That's a political side of it, and I would suggest you take a listen to it, because he made, I think, some very good points. Now, Dane Cialino joins us now, professor of law at Loyola. We're going to leave the politics out of it and just talk about the process. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
Morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. So let's talk about, generally speaking, Louisiana law, not these two specific cases, but juvenile, first of all, if there's a juvenile violent offender, what happens? And they're arrested.
Well, you know, initially the juvenile court is going to have custody over that juvenile, unless the kid is charged with one of 13 or 14 enumerated violent felonies. And if so, then the DA has the discretion to file a petition in juvenile court or to get an indictment or a bill of information in adult court against the child. But the Children's Code is very clear that that's got to be done within 30 days of the child's arrest. And here, the bills of information against these two juveniles were filed nearly 60 days after the arrest. So it's absolutely clear that the deadline in the Children's Code was missed. Now, the DA's office has made the argument that the proper remedy for this is not a quashing of the indictment, but rather is releasing the juvenile from custody. That's an issue that still needs to be worked out in the appellate court. But the bottom line is there's a deadline in the Juvenile Code. It's clear, and the DA's office missed it.
So is there any precedent for this to give you an indication of how a district court supposed to rule, or not supposed to rule, has ruled?
Well, the district court ruled according to the plain language of the text of this, of the Children's Code. So
I'm at the appeals court, Dane. I'm sorry about. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think both sides have decent arguments on what the proper remedy should be for the DA's miss the deadline. I think that's something that's still it needs to be worked out, and there's a chance the DA's office could win on that. But the DA's office shouldn't even be in this position. They should have filed the indictment if that was the direction they were going. They should have done it within the time prescribed by the Children's Code, and we wouldn't even be having this discussion.
Somebody texted in a question about a difference as it relates to the appeals court between a case being filed or lodged. Is there a legal definition between the two, or a difference, a distinction?
Well, here the Children's Code says that the DA has got to obtain an indictment or a bill of information within that 30-day period. So I don't understand what that question's about. But
I think it goes to, and it's a long text, but basically it's saying that there's a difference when you go to appeals court, whether a case has been filed or been lodged, and I guess it goes to the nature of these two cases specifically. Does it matter in a legal filing if you file an appeal or if you lodge an appeal? Is there any difference between those two?
I mean, there's a difference between filing a motion for appeal, having that motion signed by the district court, and then having the record lodged in the appellate court. But I don't think that's got anything to do with what we're talking about today.
I got you. So is anything, I guess, do you have any idea from precedent if it's over in terms of these kids being charged as, and that's, I hate to use that phrase, but these young men being charged as adults, or is it a 50-50 shot here? Have courts ruled sometimes yes, sometimes no, or is there a clear precedent on it?
Yeah, it's not over. The DA does have a colorable argument as to the remedy, but again, they missed the deadline. We shouldn't really be in a situation where we're talking about the remedy for that that act of incompetence should be. The bill of information should have been filed within 30 days. It was filed almost 60 days after the arrest. So here we are.
I mean, this is a simple, and I'm not trying to oversimplify things. I understand everybody gets busy, but this is as simple as a to-do list, right? I mean,
it is. And rule one for lawyers is calendar deadlines. Rule two is don't miss them.
So, and again, Dane, I don't want to bring you into a situation or a position where you don't want to have to answer the question, but is there any reasonable explanation for this as far as you know?
Not that I can think of, because the children's code is very clear. It says 30 days. And here it took almost 60 days to file these bills of information. That's just, it shouldn't have been done that way.
And I guess if I'm the appeals court, I'm saying, well, the case is clear. You had 30 days, you didn't do it. But you're saying it's not necessarily that clear that the appeals court would rule that way?
It's not. There is some precedent that the remedy is not dismissal or quashing of the bill of information, but rather releasing the defendant from custody. But we'll have to see how that works out. But
all right, let me take a break, Dane. We'll pick it up here because I want to talk about the recall petition and the information that's being requested by NOLA.com or the Times-Picayune as well. Dane Cialino, our guest, professor of law at Loyola. It is 8:52, time for traffic now on WWL. 8:57, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Cialino about a couple of different things, about Jason Williams missing the deadline to charge some high-profile juvenile offenders as adults after he said he would, and it's kind of hard to understand how that could happen, how you could accidentally miss that deadline. And I understand from Newell that I think Kendall Myers, he said, was serving juvenile life. And Dane, if somebody's serving juvenile life, you can only get juvenile life once, right?
That's correct, and you know you get out in your 20s, so
yeah.
it's not real life. There's plenty of life ahead out on the loose if that's what you're serving.
So in essence, if you get sentenced to juvenile life another time, you're not doing any extra time for anything. You're still getting out when you're 20 on your 21st birthday, right?
That's correct.
All right, let's talk about the suit that was filed on behalf of a NOLA.com employee, I guess. They're trying to find the names, have the recall effort to recall LaToya Cantrell reveal the names of those who have signed the petition. What does the law say about this in terms of public records, et cetera?
Yeah, this is another case where it's fairly clear. The Louisiana revised statutes say that once the first signature is collected on a petition to recall, that recall document becomes public record. And the organizers of the recall become custodians of those public records. So, although private organizations' membership lists are protected from disclosure by the First Amendment, this is a public election-type document. So it is a public record.
For those that would say it doesn't become a public record, because I've gotten texts on this, until it's turned into the Secretary of State's office. You're saying that's not the case. It's pretty clear. Dane, I think we're losing you. Maybe you can call back and give us that for background, and I'll pass it along to the listeners because I'd like to know. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, good friend of ours, and we'll try to get an answer on background and give it to you when we come back. When we do come back, we'll talk to Craig Carton, FanDuel's responsible gaming ambassador. I love to bet sports. I do it on FanDuel, but we're going to talk about doing it responsibly. And you shouldn't bet sports to try to make a living. That's not the idea. It's recreation. It's fun. And I just, you know, make a $10 bet here, $10 bet there, watch the amount go up, watch it come down. It's like a game for me, and I enjoy doing it, but we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk to Caprice Roberts, a professor of law at LSU. She teaches constitutional law, federal courts, and remedies. She's devoted scholarly and teaching attention to proper judicial role in the advancement of the law of remedies. We're going to discuss whether it's better to have elected or appointed judges. That conversation continues when we come back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.